You've entered the Networker Zone, the ultimate podcast for networkers in direct sales, network marketing, MLM, or any sales side hustle. You'll learn the skills for the how-to and the mindset to make it work from the author of over 20 best-selling books and over 25 years in the business. Here's your host, Keith Schreider.
All right, today in the zone, we are talking about how to create great offers, part 6. This episode is a standalone episode, but if you'd like to create more great offers, I'll put links to parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and of course 5 in the top of the episode notes. This audio is an excerpt from our Masterclass Plus program. I'll make sure to put a link to the program as well as a link to the book, An Offer They Can't Refuse, 14 Tools to Create Better Offers for Network Marketing. Okay, let's get right into this week's episode.
But here's the first thing to consider, that the people that are not on this call are probably doing zero self-improvement every day, or learning something new every day, learning new skills. That's what makes us difference here in the masterclass. So let's just take a look at our first awful solicitation cold email. And this is our competition. And when you see how bad our competition is, you say, wow, anybody just tries a little bit can be in the top 90%, just like that. So here is the message I received. So if you're driving, you don't have to read this. I'll just read it to you very quickly. It says, I was browsing your experience and think you might be a good fit for franchise ownership in Texas, where we're now expanding. Due to unprecedented demand in Texas, we're actively reaching out to start a short list of business leaders like yourself to become our newest franchise owners. Cold solicitation, just a message shows up very quickly in the Q&A. What do you think of that offer? When I received it, I know I felt a little generic here, like I may not have been the only recipient. But in the Q&A, what's your pro and con feedback on this? What do you think was good about it? And what do you think was, well, maybe not so good? So Keith, let me turn it over to you and a couple quick comments from the group.
Oh, well, there's the obvious direct, no, thank you. assuming you made it past the first sentence there. Again, doesn't say what's in it for me. Yeah, that's a good point. It's all about me, and all about their expansion. It's all about them, more of that. No rapport, obviously. It's very generic. More benefit on the sender than the receiver. So it's stalker, it's all about them. Very interesting feedback on that one. But yeah, it's a good point. It's rapport kind of takes care of the majority of that. And besides that, it's all about them. So they kind of fit into the two categories. It looks like we're all on the same page.
Okay. Yeah. It does look a little, I don't know, impersonal. And this is our competition. So remember, when we have really a good icebreaker or a great rapport, we've already won, but we've just eliminated our competition, because this is probably the best of the messages I got this week. I've got some really pathetic ones. I'm sure you all get to spam all the time, but let's move on to something that works. Let's take a look at Steve Porter's offer. Steve is a trial lawyer and copywriter here in the master classes. And I'd like you to play ad detective. He sent me an ad and said, hey, this ad worked really well. One of my best ads ever. So I'm going to show you the ad, and I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, what was good, or what technique did he use, or what makes this ad different? Or was there a little formula, or some hints in here? What made the difference in this ad? So let's take a look at the ad and get ready to comment. His ad said, if you are sleeping well at bedtime, then great. But if not, then our collagen drink might be a good option for you. Now, Steve messaged that he got 79 interactions on the ad, and he says, hey, this is really good for this simple little add. So in the Q&A, can you guess what technique he used? What was good about it? What did he do to make magic happen in this ad? As you see, this ad is an offer. And it's a, probably will stand out from all the other ads already on the feed. But what technique do you think that you can choose that say, man, I could copy this technique? So I'm going to turn it over to Keith. And as you're thinking about this, I'm going to ask you, if you had a series of templates or a series of techniques or magic things that you can do to an ad, like you find in the offers book that we all have, that would probably give you a heads up on this. So Keith, what do we have here in the Q&A from what people thought about this ad?
Well, a lot of people caught it that he used the if then. So it's all about the problem and the solution, of course. It's not pushy. He didn't make the feel reader or the receiver feel bad. So it wasn't a you're bad, I'm good, join me type of thing. Not salesy, so very the same. Gave people choices, so it wasn't one-sided. Obviously, choices, options, same thing as well. If you have the problem, then I offer an option, and it's a choice. So pretty much, you know, fits right in the category, but it does fit into the if-then way of giving people options.
All right. Well, very good. So everybody who's read the book and studied it pretty hard, you say, well, that's an obvious if-then. So here's the formula. If you're brand new and haven't read the book, you might say, if you have this particular problem, and remember, we're talking about problem, then here's our offer, which is the solution. And this kind of completes things in our mind. There was a copywriter named Gary Benzavia or whatever, and he made this if-then formula very, very popular many, many years ago. And it does something in the human brain. If you say if, they instantly relate to if I have this problem. And as we know, problems are things that create emotions, which create decisions. Then here's our offer. And because of the way the construction is of the if and then, people say, if I have this, then whatever you say next, I should do. Or whatever you say next must be true. So using the if and then gives us more credibility in our offers, and it just makes them more effective. It's a super formula. So let's just take a look at just a couple examples of it, because part of our homework is going to be coming up with a good if-then offer. So here's some examples. If you happen to prepare people's taxes, you would say, if you feel you pay too much in taxes, then let our professional team help you reduce your tax liability in 24 hours. That's a pretty good offer. Very clear. All right. If you get an electricity bill, then take advantage now of our lower rates. And they say, well, if I get an electric bill, then I should probably do this. And it makes the decision very quick and easy without them having to weigh pros and cons. And this is important because, remember, attention span of everyone we talk to is much shorter than even we would like to admit. Say, okay, those are pretty good. What about a couple of more examples before I try one of my own? So ready? Let's do a couple more here. If you struggle to lose weight, then let us turn your body into a fat burning machine. So they say, well, yeah, I'm still fat. I've been struggling all my life. Then I should let you turn my body into a fat burning machine. That sounds like a pretty good solution. Decision done, and it was all one sentence. All right, so let's talk business opportunity. If you hate commuting to work, remember that's the problem, then we're going to direct them, then check out our home-based business so that you never have to commute again. So we say then, and we give them a call to action, they have to check out our home-based business option. And so you never have to commute again. You kind of snuck a little benefit in there too at the end. You say, oh, that was a pretty good call to action. You say, well, what else can I do? Let's do a couple more here. let's say you sell insurance. You say, if you think insurance is too expensive, how many people are going to relate and say, well, yeah, it is. It's an expense. It comes, you know, I'd rather do other things with my money. Then let us help you get insurance that fits your budget. Call to action. Well, I do think insurance is expensive. Then I probably should do this. If your weekends feel too busy and too short, how many people could relate to that? Then use the side income from our part-time business to have three-day weekends forever. You say, wow, that's a nice little tag at the end, three-day weekends forever. Nice little benefit at the end of the if-then solution. You say, this is kind of cool. I could probably do that with my business. So in the Q&A, here's what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to put pressure on you right now to come up with your best shot. And remember, what we write down as our if and then offer in the Q&A right now is only version 1.0. It's just a start. And I will guarantee, even if you think you have the most brilliant if and then offer that you put in, you're going to revise it and think of new ways, shorter ways, clear ways, how to get more emotion into it. It's always going to be improved, but we have to start somewhere. So get out your keyboard here and let's type in a couple if and thens for what you want to offer. So pick your product, your service, or your opportunity. And let me use an if then while you're typing. I could probably say something like, if you're having trouble thinking of a good if-then offer to type into the Q&A, then you realize that we should have something prepared before we're under a pressure situation in front of a prospect. Or I could say, if you have big goals in network marketing, you haven't reached them yet, then you might want to invest 1 hour every Wednesday into the master classes, because you might pick up the one or two tips that's going to turbocharge you in a certain area of your business. If you can't think of a good if-then statement, then that would be a sign that we need to up our game so we stand out from the competition. So, Keith, what do we have so far here for a couple good if-then statements, which is going to give a terrific offer to people?
Yeah, we have a lot of good ones that have come in so far. If you're happy with the look and feel of your hair, that's fab. If not, let me help you achieve the look and feel you want. And you could probably use that for skin. Just anybody that has a product, just choose your body part. That should fit right into the formula here. If you feel you pay too much for health insurance, then we should talk. You know, you could use that for pretty much any service as well. Cell phone, electricity, any service that pretty much fits into that category when you can save people money. I like this one here. If you think investing is only for the rich, then we can show you how to invest for only $50 per month. You can do $1.66 a day. You could do a lot of things with that formula, which is pretty cool, but definitely goes rich. Of course, $50 a month sounds doable. If you're concerned about your heart health, then our easily implemented protocol is exactly what you need. So another one you could use for pretty much any nutritional product where you have a solution. If you're fed up with your broadband price being increased mid-contract, then check out our etc. Our award-winning broadband, our service, things like that. And of course, you could use that for a lot of the different services. If you think you're working too hard, then why not work smarter? So just a really good open-ended one that could fit into opportunity. Let's see. Wow. Let's do just a couple more. If you are worried about not being able to retire, then we can show some ways that you may be able to retire happily. If you have too much month left at the end of your money, then we should talk. So another good classic and a good spin on it using the if then. And here's a good current event one. If you're not happy with inflation and how things have doubled, then we should talk about how we can fix that for you, fix that problem. So good stuff. Keep them coming in. I'll go through some of these here in the background and back over to you.
Okay. As we noticed here, the VEN, P-H-E-N, prompts us to give them a call to action. And one of the things that are missing in a lot of offers is a call to action. We might say, we got this thing, but we never ask them to buy. We don't give them the next step. So a call to action simply means, here's the next step that you should take immediately. So the then part is magic because it forces us into good business practices. So these are pretty good, but remember, whatever you wrote down, we're going to improve. Today, tomorrow, throughout the week, you stick it in your subconscious mind, let your subconscious mind work on it, and guess what? It'll come up, hey, this sounds good. Or I hear a competing offer and say, I could take part of that, add it to mine, and make it better. So let's move on. Here's the next question. Why does it take me so long to get to my offer? So we talk a lot about how soon people make decisions. And they say, yeah, but I can't even get to my offer right away. I'm trying to, you know, build a relationship. And here is something to consider. When we get in network marketing, they told me to build relationships because if you have relationships, you can talk to people. And I build a lot of relationships. And I don't know about you, but it takes a little bit of time. And I got thinking one day, you know what? Relationships is different than rapport. What does rapport mean? They trust us and believe us, what we say. So if I am the useless brother-in-law, I have a relationship with people, but I may not have rapport. So when I talk to them, they're not going to believe what I say because they don't respect me because of, well, my past. So once we learn that we don't need to build a relationship, instead, we can just use 5 seconds or 30 seconds to get instant rapport, then all of a sudden we have time to get to the offer right away. So think of the difference between rapport and relationship. Rapport simply means they trust us and believe us. We may not have a relationship with a lot of people we buy things from, but we have rapport that we trust and believe what they say. Now, we've done a lot of classes here about building rapport and the different tricks of doing it, so we're not going to spend time with that right now. But let's not confuse trying to spend a lot of time holding their hand, listen to long, endless stories to build a relationship. Yes, that does build rapport, but we can do it much easier and much more efficiently as we get new phrases and stuff to use. So please think rapport, rapport, rapport. That's the 80%, as we know from that circle. Let's move on here. Here's the next question. Why are offers must be short and fast? So we tell people that the decisions happen in the first few seconds. And so if we can sneak our offer in that first few seconds, they'll make a decision on that offer. And you say, yeah, but why does it have to be so short and fast? Can I tell them more about the research and the guarantees and all the testimonials? Well, why can't I get into all that? The answer is because people have too many decisions to make every second on where to put their attention. Now, we know the human mind, the conscious mind, can only have one thought at a time. One thought only. Okay? So if the human mind can have one thought only, and they're being pulled in different directions constantly for the attention, that means they have to forget whatever we say, think about something else. Think about something else, forget about that, so you have the next thought in their mind. To make every second count, we have to hold their attention. So let me just give you an example of what's going through their mind. And remember, whenever a new thought enters their mind, they have to flesh out what we were talking about. So, and if we want to get a thought in their mind, we're going to have to squeeze our way in for all the other competing thoughts. So here's some examples of what goes through the ordinary prospect's mind. And when we realize the competition we know we have to get better. So here's some thoughts. They wake up in the morning and say, well, should I cook my breakfast? No, or maybe I should have cereal. Flush that thought out. Or grab a donut on the way to work. Yeah, it's maybe not so healthier. But really, what should I wear today? And they've already forgotten about the food. And in just that 1 or 2 seconds, so many thoughts went in and out. And if we happen to be one of those thoughts, we've been flushed a long time ago. You say, wow, that's a lot of competition. Let's take a look at a few more things they might be thinking. They might be thinking, did I pay my cable bill? And then they say, oh, wait. Where's that shopping list I'm supposed to take to work today of things that I'm supposed to get to bring home, you know? And, oh, wait, do I have enough time to scroll TikTok and check my social media and my Instagram posts? Or, wow, I feel so stressed. Maybe I'll just watch the morning news. Or, you know, is coffee good for your health? Maybe I'll look that up and so I feel good about, you know, paying for my overpriced coffee. And you go, wow, that's a lot of stuff that's going through their mind. So this is what we have to fight against. And this is why we can't hold their attention for 15 minutes to put all the stuff in. We got to get them to focus on their offer. So that's why within the first few seconds, we want to get our offer into their mind. So let's move on here. So keep that in the back of your mind, but let's move on. Here's an offer, and I heard this very recently, and the offer was, you can buy our product or join as a distributor and get our product at a discount, or you can join as a business builder. All right, there's the offer. Now, here's the question for the Q&A. What is wrong with the above offer? And maybe we shouldn't say what's wrong, or maybe we should say, how can we improve it? Because the above offer is an offer I made for years. And it wasn't until later I figured out, oh, wow, we can do a whole lot better. But just taking a look at this offer, I should have many good things about it. In the Q&A, what do you think is the problem? What did you think is the area or technique that we could use to vastly improve a pretty good offer?
Pretty much everyone's saying, well, the big one, the majority of people are saying, hey, there's more than two options. Too many options. There's three options. No clarity, no obvious benefit, very vague. Let's see here. Definitely make it shorter. Max two options. They don't address or solve the problem that you stated they have, of course. So, yeah, it's all about us, not about them. Are they talking about a need or a want? Very, very good point there. Not a clear offer, too confusing. But on the good side, worst case scenario, you get free stuff. Best case, you earn money. So that's a good way of getting the everyday person or the everyday prospect, instead of us talking about distributors and so forth, so or business builders. So it's a very good everyday term, which is good. And of course, many people keep saying, hey, too many options. So we're all on the same page here. Good stuff.
Okay, so let's talk about the number one thing that people brought up, too many options. You can see there's an option to buy a product, an option to join a distributor and get the product at a discount, and an option to join as a business builder. There's also one more option. Don't do anything. Keep your life the same. So there's four options here. And as you know, our option should be two. Because the fewer the options, the greater chance a decision will be made. The more options we get, the lower percentage chance of a decision being made. Too many options just paralyzes the human mind. So if you want to be better at your options, as most people here picked up, the option should be one thing or keep your life the same. That's it. And once we focus that, we become infinitely more effective. So here's something called the rule of one. And the rule of one says we should make one offer to people. And the offer should be about one thing, not multiple things within the offer. And we're only asking for one decision. Take the offer or keep your life the same. So if you get up, paste on your phone or your computer screen, just remember the rule of one. Keep it simple. 1-1-1-1-1. And I have seen offers because I get a chance to look at a lot of sales letters and people send them to me and says, yeah, how can we make this better? And they're, rather than talk to a client, they put in all these options and I'm going to add this to this offer and my proposal will include this over here. And then we should do this. And then we can step forward to doing this. And I'm thinking, somebody has to make 8 or 10 decisions in that letter. And then hopefully at the end, it's going to be a decision to go forward. That's pretty long odds. So remember the rule 1, we want to keep it simple. So here's another example of offers, since this is offers part 6. We've done a lot of things on offers, but very quickly, put on your hat. What is good and bad about the following offer? So I'm going to show you the offer. It's just a simple ad that'll show up in a news feed. And here's the picture of the ad. And in the Q&A, what is good or bad about the offer? If you're driving, it shows 4 pictures of actors from past shows. And it says, can you guess? They're going to guess your age based upon which TV shows you've watched in the past. So it's kind of a quiz offer. What's good and bad about this particular one? So in the Q&A, just off the top of your head, what do you think is good or bad? All right, and Keith, let's see what we have. What's good or bad about this particular thing?
Well, a couple of people, just like myself, said this is kind of the same viewpoint as if you don't watch any of them or don't recognize any of this, definitely you get excluded. So we excluded people right off the bat. Now, obviously, sometimes it's a good thing if it's a niche product or service, but you know, we're trying to help as many people out as possible on our opportunity. We have too many options or too many offers. I have no idea as well. Let's see. It's visual, but 3 options would be more simple. So yeah, I mean, we're totally confused. Maybe they could have just picked one to get people to click on it, like one very popular show. That would have been a good one. Too many images, too many options. Let's see here. Most people are young. Yeah, they all look under the age of 20. So that's a good point as well. Too many options. We're all on the same page.
Okay. So here's something about this ad. You have to ask yourself, what do you think they're selling? And you're thinking, well, not really sure here. So this might be kind of a wasted thing, but maybe not totally wasted. The problem is it's not focused. It's not part of a good, like if you want to call it a sales funnel or getting people to think about a particular thing, it's pretty vague. Might be interesting to look at. Yeah. And curiosity. So let's just take a look at a couple of the good things about that. Number one, it is a quiz and people love quizzes because it gets them engaged. And the only people that engage in a quiz are people that, which would make them a prospect. A second thing is curiosity factor. Curiosity is the number 2 program. Curiosity is number 2 program for, I don't know, the human mind. After survival, curiosity pretty much rocks. So if it's a quiz, the curiosity will say, man, how do I score in the quiz? Am I better than my neighbors or something like that? Here's the third thing about this. It was a quiz. This one didn't do it, but we could. We want to increase the pain and pre-sell our offers. So if we're going to do a quiz, which is a great hook to get people's attention, we want to make it about our product, but wouldn't it be better to make it about the problem our product solves, our service sells? And you say, yeah. So you could have a quiz here, like how much your utility bill went up over the last year. Discount, 10%, more than 10%, and people say more than 10%. Well, that quiz got them involved to say, well, I got thinking about my bill is going up. It's going to cost me a lot of money. So there's nothing wrong with quizzes, but the idea is, why don't we focus it in so it's actually helping people realize they have a problem? So here's a way of making our offers even better. And that is, nobody wants what we offer. And this is horrible. People don't want our technology. They don't want our manufacturing. They don't want our compensation plan with all the bells and whistles. They don't really want what we offer. But what everybody wants is what our offer will ultimately do for them. And when people hear what our offer will do for them, well, what we offer is always better than what they have in the real life. So in a way, we have prospects that are pre-sold. Nobody wants our stuff, but they want what our stuff will do for them. So when we're making our professional offers here, how we're going to separate ourselves from the crowd is not going to the facts and features and benefits, but instead what our offers will do for them. They say, okay, how do I do it very quick? Let me give you some quick questions that you could ask yourself, and this will help you focus on your offer. Are you ready? So our offer should say, what will happen when you change or use this? So if you have a diet product, you're going to tell them exactly what's going to happen, which means you won't be hungry as much anymore, and your weight will go off naturally, and you're going to look in the mirror and see yourself two sizes smaller in a month. You tell them what's going to happen. Or you could say how they're going to feel when they use what we offer. So we offer a business opportunity, and they're going to feel great because they're excited about doing something where they know they're going to get paid what they're worth. And or how life can be when you take advantage of my offer. So you say, when you take advantage of my offer, you never have to worry about a utility increase again, or you never have to worry about your family security because you got the insurance. Or why you will want to use my offer. So they take the offer because after they take their offer, they're thinking, I want to use this discount card all the time, or I want to take this energy product all the time because I want to be at my peak every afternoon at work. Or use the word picture formula. When you use my offer, here is what happens. So when you use my product, here's what happens. When you use when I join your business, here's what happens. Take them to the future with a word picture. So as you see, if we focus not on what we offer, but what we offer does for them, just skip what we offer. Just leave that part out. They can learn that later in the presentation. But focus on that. That's what's going to make our offer stand out from some of the stupid stuff that people offer. So, ready? Here's some stupid stuff. I was recently at an event, and I asked people, what do you offer? And it was a networking event, and here was their answer. I said, so when you go to a prospect, what do you offer? And he says, we have the highest quality alpha-based antioxidant with a proprietary delivery system. Well, that's kind of like what they offer, but really, is that what people want? When we tell people this is what we offer, there's no incentive for them, really. They're going to have to connect a whole lot of dots in their mind, like what does antioxidants mean? Will it work for me? Will it be effective? It doesn't come across very good. So you can see they're concentrated on what they offer versus what they offer will do for people. So keep this in mind. What do you offer? The highest quality alpha-based antioxidant with a proprietary delivery system or something like that, they said. So in the Q&A, type in very quickly, what would have been a better answer for this prospect? So we ask the prospect, what do you, the prospect says, what do you offer? And we answer with this highest quality thing. In the Q&A, what would have been a better answer? And I will guarantee if we just think about the future, what this is going to do for them, the answers start coming up very clearly that this should have been our original offer. So, Keith, what do we have in the Q&A of what would have been a better answer to this prospect to this rather technical offer? And this is not unusual because almost everybody I talked to the event had the same type of answer of the technical part. So Keith, what do we have?
Yeah, a good direct answer would be, I, especially if it's a niche, you know a little bit about them, you can view them. I offer tired moms a few hours of energy. I offer people better health. We help people's bodies be healthier so they can live longer. They can make you feel better and happier. More energy. Offer youth in a bottle. Offer healthy days on holidays rather than getting sick on holidays like your last trip. And I mean, you figure this took us 1 minute. This person's probably been in their business longer than a day. So we definitely have the unfair advantage on this. It's a lot more coming in. But yeah, I mean, anything's better than your standard generic copy and paste. So good stuff.
All right. So let's do a little fun hobby. Let's go to a networking event, any networking event, and just ask the attendees what they offer. And you're going to listen to some really clumsy things, which are technical, or go to these BNI breakfast meetings or something like that, where people give the 1 minute speech about their business, where a family owned roofing contractor has been around 13 some years, and you say, wow, they're really missing their chance to just jump and say what they so you say, man, I could go to these networking events, I could just clean up. And the answer is, yeah, you'd be so different because you have an offer just way above everybody else's because you jump ahead that step. But you say, well, how can I put this on steroids? So here's the answer. It's called reciprocation. If you just ask 10 people, what do you offer? Roughly about 10 people will end up asking you, what do you offer? So all we have to do is ask 10 people what they offer. They're going to ask us, well, we offer, we give our best offer. And you'll be surprised at how many volunteers we will get because our offers rock. And you say, okay, so how can I make these offers rock even better? Let's do it. We're going to use something called an analogy. The only way the human mind understands something is by comparing it to something it already knows. So if you can say what we have is something like you already know or understand, they get it right away. If not, it's too abstract. It's going to take them a long time to understand. So what we're going to do is connect what we offer to someone, to something already in their minds. And then what we're going to do is use great rapport by saying what they know in their mind is a fact that we also know. And if we do it this way, what we're going to do is reduce sales resistance. There's going to be no salesman alarm. It's just going to feel so natural for people. So to put this analogy and rapport thing all together, let's show you a little formula. Ready? Here's the best starter phrase. If you start with, well, you know how, that tells our mind that it's something they already know. It's something that's a fact. It's something they believe. Well, you know how is just a rocking opening phrase to get that rapport. And it also trains the mind that what we're going to hear is going to relate to something they already know that is true. Let's take it up another level here. I'm going to ask everyone here very quickly, what is an easier offer to sell? A benefit or solving a problem? And we all know, well, solving a problem is like 10 times more effective than just offering a benefit to people. So offering a benefit to people of better health. But if they have a problem, like they can't sleep at night, that's so much easier to market to. So what we're going to do is concentrate on a problem. So here's the next step. We're going to combine the well, you know how, with a known problem that the prospect will have. Okay, so give me some examples. Are you ready? Here they are. Well, you know how arthritis really hurts. If they have arthritis, you've already won. Or, well, you know how hard it is to get by on one paycheck with inflation so high. You go, oh. Yeah, it is. Now we can talk about our opportunity. They're open-minded. They're excited for our next sentence where we're going to say, well, I'll give you the next sentence, but our next sentence is going to be saying how we produce the ultimate effect, not what we do, but how we get the ultimate effect of them. Or But let's continue. Well, you know how we need insurance, but it is so expensive. They say, yeah. And notice I underlined the words we need, which means I've already told them that they need it and they will agree. So I've kind of pre-sold them in that phrase that, yeah, I do need it, but it is expensive. And of course, we're going to solve that. A couple more here. Well, you know how we would love to be our own boss? And this is an implied problem. We didn't say they had a problem with a crummy boss, but if they want to be their own boss, obviously they have a problem. So using well, you know how, stick in a problem they have. And that's a great way to start introducing our offer. So they see the problem, and of course, our offer is going to solve it. So in the Q&A, what is your version of the well, you know how, and insert a problem, which is going to set up the offer. So typing very quickly, and you say, why do we have to type so quickly? Because we're in front of people, we have to think quickly. And if we've done this so many times before practicing these master classes, you say, I don't even have to think quickly. I already have mine memorized. So what can you say? Well, you know how, mention the problem to set up the offer. So Keith, what do we have here for a couple quick ones here?
Well, you know how, we are on the fast track of working for 40 years, and at the end, we get a gold watch. Well, you know, inflation is eating away at our savings. Well, you know how getting up early to commute to work in traffic is a beast. Let's see, go back to Toiletries ones. Well, you know how the cost of toiletries are rising in cost. Let's see. Pretty simple formula that we have, but we just can adapt a lot of the things we've already typed in. So keep them coming in.
And after they nod yes, you're thinking, what's the next words? The next words is, well, what I do is, and then you're going to put in the benefit. You're not really going to say what I do is the technical part, but what I do is, and then get the final result, the dream that they're wanting to have. Remember, people don't want what we offer. They want what our offer will do for them. So that's what are going to be our ultimate offer. So it might sound like, well, you know how we need insurance, but it's so expensive. Oh, yeah. Well, what I do is help families fit insurance in their budget so they get the insurance they need and they never have to worry about it again. And you say, all right, that's ultimately what they want to have to offer. So that's where we want to go with this little formula. But trust me, that will make our offer so much better than everybody else's. You'll be a star at any networking event, and you'll be a star when you're one-on-one in front of a prospect or on the internet or Zoom. People will see our offer right away. So the follow-up phrase is, well, what I do is. Now, let's take a look at next week. Next week is all about follow-up. And people say, I hate follow-up. It's hard to do. I get ghosted all the time. I feel icky about doing it. I don't want to be a salesman. And, well, you know how follow-up, it feels a little bit unpleasant. But here's what Keith does. Keith shows people the exact ways to contact people so they look forward to it, and how to prepare them to look forward to it, and the phrases to look forward to it, and how you can use follow-up. And guess what? You're gonna love it. So that's next week. So let's do our homework here. Are you ready? We have four homeworks here today. Number one, write down your offer and ask yourself, is it short? Is it clear? And is it only one decision they have to make, not multiple? And the decision is my offer or keep the miserable life the same. So write down your offer. Number two, then immediately rewrite your offer using the if-then formula. Put it to use and see if that makes your offer look better. But now you have two offers that you can choose from. And then rewrite your offer using the well, you know how formula, using that analogy. So you rewrite the offer and say, now I have three ways of making my offer. You say, man, I don't know which one is better. So here's homework number three. Try testing your offers. You know, different offers or different ways of saying it, or just small tweaks and changes, like Steve Porter pointed out, can make a huge difference. So your star offer used to be this, where you showed people what you gave them, which is great. But when you use it as an if and then, as Steve found out, for that particular item, worked a whole lot better. So all we're going to do is test our offers, and you can test it with people. And I like doing that. I just give people the offer and just look at their eyes. And if their eyes roll to the back of their head, I know that this is not connecting. And if they squint and change the subject, I know, man, I need to work on my offers. So just test your offers if you can. You can test them on Facebook. You say, well, I put this offer in and I got 5 likes and I've changed it and I got 15 likes. I think I will use that second version from now on. I just know that's going to be 3 times more effective.
Thanks for visiting the Networker Zone. To get awesome networking tips delivered directly to your inbox, or for more information about books, audiobooks, online training, including Zooms and masterclasses, make sure and visit BigAlBooks.com.